Off and rolling on a Saturday morning. Look who's back together again. The great, great 49er Rush podcast czar is in the house, and we're mock drafting. Let's go. Off and running on a Saturday. Beautiful weather on the West Coast. Welcome. We're in mid-March. And it was just yesterday I was taking the Christmas tree to the curb. January flew by, February by even faster, and now we're halfway through March. We're a week away from baseball season. The combine's in the rearview mirror. The draft is fast approaching. Free agency week one in the books. And we've got a lot to get to, and we've got the guy in the house that we want to talk to today, and that is the great John Chapman.
Let's go, Larry. It's been too long, and it's all my fault. I've been traveling a lot, so I apologize, but any Saturday, I get to see the beautiful face of Larry Krueger. I know it's going to be a good Saturday. We're going to talk some football. Excited about today's show. This is a little spoiler alert. This is my first mock draft of the offseason. I've waited for this moment.
That is awesome. Well, let's before we get into the mock draft, and I thought this would be a good time to do the mock draft because we're starting to get the framework of the 53-man roster. We're starting to get a feel for what the Niners did in free agency, what they may do, won't do, could do. Now there's talk about, the latest is that Nick Bosa has redone his contract. There's a lot of talk that he's redone his contract to help it make the, a runway available for his brother Nick, or for his brother Joey, to join the 49ers. The Niners got kind of a break. I don't want to speak kind of callously of it because I really like this guy and I really thought highly of him. But Bryce Huff, when he decided to retire, walked away from a significant savings, or that in effect gave the Niners significant savings on the cap to the tune of roughly $17 million now over the course of the full commitment to Bryce Huff. And there was speculation they were going to cut Bryce Huff and that he was going to be a cap casualty. Instead, he retires and to start a whole new venture in lithium battery technology. I mean, it was really very interesting listening to his speech. In fact, when I was in the Canadian League, I was the Turk, right? So guys would be like, dude, if they saw me in the hallway, like in the morning, they'd be like, they would like shudder, cause they'd be like, are you coming for me, Krug? And I'm like, no, man, no, not today. Not you. And then, I'd knock on the guy's door. Hey, Sam, Coach Stevenson wants to see you and bring your playbook. Now it's probably, hey, Bob, Coach Kyle wants to see you and bring your tablet. But back then it was bring your playbook. And then not only did I have to bring them down to the head coach and to the office where they would get, obviously let go. But then it was also my job to wait for them and then wait for them to go back to their room, pack up all their stuff, and then drive them from where we trained in Yuba City at Yuba College in Marysville down about maybe roughly 40 minutes or so to Sacramento to the airport. So I had to drive these guys there. And a lot of times, and they used to talk to me about like, hey, don't agitate them. Don't, start picking at the scab. Don't ask them how they feel. Let them talk to you. Don't talk to them. So on and so forth. So we had all these protocols, but over the course of the thing, guys did want to talk. And I would always say to them, hey man, what's the plan? You're going to keep fighting this fight. You're going to play in the World League. You're going to try to catch on somewhere else in the CFL. You're going to try to go to training camp somewhere next month in the NFL. What's next for you? And it was amazing. These were the same scenario, young football players being cut, but the reaction to what they were going to do was always quite a bit different. One guy's like, yeah, I'm starting an ostrich farm in Texas. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Is there good money? He's like, absolutely. Great money in it. And then, sometimes guys knew exactly what they what they want to do and what they want to, you know, where they're going with their life. Sometimes it's like, hey, man, I have no idea. All I know is I've been playing football since I was, you know, 5 years old, and I have no idea what I'm going to do next, but I'm done playing football. You know, I'm going to school. I'm going, you know, I'm going back to junior college. I'm joining my dad's business. So to hear Bryce Huff say, I'm walking away from the game to get involved with lithium battery technology that could help save lives and, you know, improve people's health in the future. He seems super engaged. I'm excited for him, but it also was an opportunity for the Niners to reroute that money to Joey Bosa. Is my long-winded way of saying Joey Bosa could be coming here.
I wouldn't be upset.
Yeah,
you have to pay a premium for it, though.
Right. So let me, before we get into Bosa, what do you think? I mean, without me leading you in any direction, what was your favorite and least favorite move of the week for the 49ers?
I think the overall approach this offseason, that is what has been so refreshing. And you talk to 49ers fans, vibes are off the charts. You look at last offseason, 2025, they did not add one offense or defensive starter, not one, in free agency. You know, you had this younger, cheaper narrative that was going around and Jed not spending and whatever. You've added three starters minimum already this year. And so Mike Evans, you got on a value deal. Mike Evans chose the 49ers, not the other way around, by the way. I don't think the 49ers would have won a bidding war for Mike Evans. Again, George Kittle, you know, that's been highlighted a lot, recruited him. Mike Evans wanted to be here. The Osa, trade, that's incredible. And again, another value deal. He took less to go to the Cowboys because he wanted to build a forever home there and all that stuff. Then they trade him a year later. And then you get Dre Greenlaw. I know some people are upset because Dre Greenlaw is always hurt, and that's fair. But guess what? You're paying hurt prices. You're not going out there and signing Dre Greenlaw top of the market linebacker money. You paid $7 million for Dre Greenlaw. If that dude just plays eight games this season, then guess what? You got your value. If he plays more than eight games, then now you're in the bonus. So you've addressed and added three starters. I think that that is huge. And I'm going to, this is where, you know, I put my biased hat on. I am a fan, Larry. That's what it is. Dre Greenlaw is my favorite player on the 49ers. He's number one. You know, I'm a foster parent. That dude was a foster kid. His story from Arkansas. My dad's from Arkansas. Like, you know, I freaking love this man. I really, really do. And, you know, my favorite players in 49ers histories are almost all linebackers. And I want people that play in the gray. You know what I mean? Like, I want tone setters. I want people that are, you know, I don't mind unnecessary roughness penalties, even whenever they kind of screw up a game. I want tone setters. And even whenever I coached, like, there's a tax to go over the middle. Who's going to pay the toll? You got to make that guy pay. Dre Greenlaw is that in spades. And since he's not been in the lineup, the defense has felt different. And so, you know, my favorite signing, I'm going to be honest, Dre Greenlaw coming back. That's my number one. I'm pretty excited about that one.
I mean, I am too, even though I was rooting against it. And I did a video saying, hey, don't go after these guys. Don't show sentimentality. Don't look back for Debo. Don't look back for Greenlaw. Don't look back. And I still generally feel that way. I'm a personnel guy through and through, and I just don't believe in having those warm feelings for the players, even though anybody who watches my content and knows that I go into the locker room knows that I have really warm feelings for the players. So it's a little bit of a contradiction, right? It's like, I really like the players, and I try to compliment them and be as positive as I can with them.
You're good at that, by the way, and that is appreciated from the 49ers community. That rings true throughout lots of people that watch all your content. So appreciate that about you, Larry.
Well, I appreciate the comment, but I mean, it's just, you know, I admire these guys. I kind of feel like I know their process, and I never try to get them into like a gotcha thing. Hey, you didn't make, or if we do a gotcha thing, it's not going to be in a post game. It's going to be like a day or a week later. Hey, you know, you fumbled. What happened? Can we talk about it now? But I don't like the post game. In fact, I'll go into the locker room if they win in the post game for just, you know, just a nominal conversation here or there, and just get the vibe of the room. But if they lose, I don't go in there because I don't need to go in there and I don't need anything from them. If I have some question I want to ask, I can go in there and ask somebody or ask a PR person. But I don't like the post game that much. I really don't, because it comes across like the person who's asking the questions, us, have the answers, which we don't. And then we're asking players who rarely have the answers because they haven't watched the film. So it's like, it's coming across like the person that doesn't know what's going on is asking the questions to the person who does know what's going on, but doesn't know the particulars. You know, it's just like it's just a big exercise in futility. As far as the Greenlaw thing, though, what I love about Greenlaw is that it means so much. It means so much to him to be a Niner. That is a great thing. And it's also, it means so much to him to just play and to play as hard as he plays. And he plays at such a level that, you know, I really don't think there's a lot of guys that impact others, but he does. And I mean, I just know for a fact from walking around the room and talking to a lot of those young DBs, the Demo Lenores, and man, they admired the hell out of this guy and they really didn't want to see him go. And so this was the guy that I think the Niners, they're kind of righting a wrong. They shouldn't have let this guy out the door, period. He had a good year in Denver when he played. He had a great, like a 90 tackle grade or something like that in the playoff game against in the NFC title game against the, or AFC title game against the Patriots. He played really, really well in that game. So he can play really well when he's healthy. The question is, how long will he be healthy? But I do kind of like that move in that it now, you know, you're going to have between Winters potentially and Bethune, Nick Martin, and, you know, whoever you draft, you're going to have three or four really young linebackers probably in that room. Definitely in training camp, you're going to have some young linebackers. And what better two guys to bring them along than Greenlaw and Warner? So I really like that move a lot, but I would have to say that my favorite move is the Osa Odighizuwa move. I mean, it just seems like if you're struggling as an organization, just follow the Cowboys around and wait for them to screw up. You know what I mean? Because everybody else, we're in an era, John, where sports is now being run by guys from Harvard and Yale and, you know, Ivy League guys who are really smart and they don't make emotional decisions a lot and they don't cut anybody erroneously. And everybody's got a team of analytics people to tell them what to do and the right move and the value play. And Dallas is the only team, I think, that's still kind of just winging it old school style with a big mouth owner and his rich kid son and whatever slouch they can hire to be their coach. And it's like it's like a parade of idiots. And these guys had one of the best defensive tackles in Osa. And then they had this problem with Micah. And then they wind up trading Micah. They don't know what they're going to get for him. They finally move him for picks and Kenny Clark. So now they add another player inside. And then they decide in the middle of the year, they're going to flip some of those picks for Quinn and Williams. So now they're adding a third inside player. And anybody could look at their depth chart and be like, hey, Jerry, you already have Kenny Clark and you already have Osa and you just signed Osa to an extension. We probably shouldn't go for Quinnen. It probably doesn't make sense for us. And instead he's like, nah, we want Quinnen anyway. So they wind up getting rid of Osa. And John, I looked at the numbers. Osa had a better year last year than Quinnen or Kenny Clark.
His tape was pretty freaking great. I was okay with the trade at first because I knew Dallas was going to unload him. So it was kind of like whatever. I went through and watched the tape and good gosh, it was some of the most consistent tape from a 6'2", 280 defensive tackle. You know, kind of the stereotype on OC Odighizuwa is, oh, just a pass rusher, just a pass rusher. Hell no. Like the technique that he brings against duo, that's whenever, you know, you double team both defensive tackles. Right. He puts on a clinic. Like you got to get skinny, quick. You got to split and you got to rip through. And again, there's ways that you can win. You can anchor or you can split. That dude is a double team splitting machine. And again, I apologize because I probably kind of extended a little bit of this narrative that, oh, he's just a pass rusher. That's total BS. Osa is very, very good against the run and very gap sound which is huge. What you didn't have in Clea Davis and you didn't have in Jordan Davis, like, or Jordan Elliott. Those were two players that are no longer with the Niners. They started every game last year, but it was like so inconsistent. You're replacing inconsistencies with consistent football veteran leadership. I think that's huge. And so Osa, Greenlaw, Mike Evans, those three guys, they bring that. I think they're positive signings big time.
I just think it's, you know, I mean, I love Zane Durant in this draft, right? And I think he is the guy that I would have tried to get to run this spot, to play, be that interior pass rusher. And they say he's going to go in the third round, but he had a great combine, so maybe he'll go in the second round. But even so, even if he winds up being exactly the player that I think he is, he's still probably not going to be able to play at the level that Osa Odighizuwa is at for a year or two. And the Niners get 27-year-old Osa, who's just such a perfect complement to Collins and West inside, because those guys are real run defenders, and this guy can be both. This guy can be a real pass rush force inside, even though he doesn't have a lot of sacks. He's piled up a lot of pressures and quarterback hits. So, you know, to get this guy, you know, and it's like the Trey Lance trade. I mean, you know, they got Malik Mustafa and they got a fourth round pick out of Trey Lance at that point. Nobody was offering that, but Dallas was, you know. So it's like all you got to do is just follow Jerry and his kid around, and they forced themselves to make this trade. I talked to Brad Sham, the voice of the Cowboys, this week, and he's like, let me tell you, you know, you guys are getting a good one. You guys are getting a good person. You guys are getting a good player. You guys are getting a good athlete. You guys are getting a guy who's missed one game in his career. When Marshawn Nealand took his own life, this was the guy who kind of kept the team together, according to Brad Sham. So, I mean, the 49ers got a pretty special player. And, you know, anybody that has to be doubled on your front line is a good player. And now you got Bosa potentially and Osa. And then of course the t-shirt, Bosa and Osa. So you got Osa, you got Greenlaw. What'd you think of the Nate Hobbs signing? Because I know there were a lot of people that looked at his numbers in Green Bay and said, oh, he can't play. But I've been a big Nate Hobbs fan going back to Illinois. And I loved him with the Raiders. I thought he played great with the Raiders, not as good with Green Bay, and the Niners got him 1 year after he signed a big free agent deal. They get him for a song by comparison. What'd you think of the signing?
Yeah, probably what Nate Hobbs does best. Like, he fits that prototypical corner, 6'2", 200 pounds. He's, you know, 6 feet, 195 pounds, versatility and football IQ. That's what he brings consistently. I think you play all five defensive back spots. I think they're going to have him at that big nickel role that Pinnock was playing. Now he's gone, but he could play outside. He spent year, you know, he did a full year with the Raiders where he had 500 plus outside corner snaps. He's played predominantly in the slot and can do that. That's so, like, you're getting $4 million corner that could play all over your secondary, fits your scheme in the fact that quality A-plus physicality run defender. You want to give him an A grade there. I'm cool with that. The issue is he's not the best man cover guy. Well, you don't run a man cover scheme. So, yeah, zone drops are good. Football IQ, communication's good. Run support is good. He had some injuries, didn't have his best tape last year with the Packers. But, again, you're getting a corner for $4 million. Sticking with this theme of, man, you're getting value, veteran, established players. Is he a home run? Is he a Pro Bowler or anything like that? No, he's not. I don't even think he's going to be penciled in as a starter. But this is somebody that, if Renardo Green continues to have those, you know, if he is still around on this team post-draft and has those kind of, you know, low football IQ plays where he just jumps on a out and up on third and 22, you could put somebody in there that play. Now, Renardo Green's so much more talented. It has way better cover skills, but what's in between the noggin matters. Nate Hobbs has that. He has experience. He has versatility. So just one of those things where you get veteran leadership and versatility on the back end, and I think that that's important. So I like the Nate Hobbs signing. It doesn't really move the needle, but if you go through another crazy injury-riddled year, you've got this duct tape utility player. You're a baseball guy. Like, he could play all over. And so you can plug and play him wherever you need him, and you have just more depth on the back end, which is huge. 49ers rush road trip is going down under. The 49ers and Rams play in Australia to open up the 2026 season, and we got you covered. We are now taking deposits in a partnership with X Hospitality and True Fan Travel. All you have to do is go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, and you can sign up right there and get your deposit in. It's $499 deposit, but here's the kicker. Fully refundable all the way until the end of May, which that's going to give you several weeks after the official announce of the schedule. But we're trying to build this out and make sure that we have spots for everybody that is serious about going. So, however, if we fill up our spots and you didn't get your deposit in, then I hate to say it, probably not going to be able to travel with us. We're covering direct flights from San Francisco all the way to Melbourne. We've got 4-star hotels. We're all going to be staying together. I can't announce that until the NFL announces. They've got a lot of red tape on that. Game tickets, which it's going to be very difficult to get game tickets for this international game. It's the first game ever in Australia. We got you. We got transportation to and from the game. We have all-inclusive tailgate before the game. We have a rally the day before the game with a former player. We'll announce that later. We're going to the wildlife refuge. We've got wine tasting and dinners covered. We've got you. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Go ahead and check it out. Make sure you like it. And again, if you're one of those people that's like, I'm not coming from San Francisco, we have non-flight options. So if you just want to meet us there, that is there as well. If you want to stay longer than the 7 days that we're going, you do the non-flight option, fly out on your own. You join us for the week of the game. We have everything covered. Everybody is welcome to come, all ages included. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, get your deposit in now, and make sure you save your spot for this legendary event, 49ers Rush Road Trip. And if you have any questions, just go to the site, fill out the contact list with, hey, can I do this? It's on the site. They will get your questions answered. And if they don't, email me. 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. I will get you your answers. Do not miss out on this once-in-a-lifetime event. The regular season is wrapped, and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I love the way Chase Lucas played, but Lucas was a slot player, you know, strictly. And I liked what I saw from Pinnock, but Pinnock is a, you know, has played a lot of safety. He's not quite the cover guy that he was at Pittsburgh. I think Hobbs is a better cover guy than Pinnock, and I think he's more versatile than Lucas. And they didn't give him no money, by the way. It wasn't like it was some minimum deal. He got $4 to $4.5 million. So I get a feeling that Raheem Morris may really like this player and may have a real defined plan for how he wants to utilize him. Cause you kind of referenced it. He's versatile. He can play in a lot of different spots. What I liked about him is coming out of Illinois, he wasn't very good against the run. And now he actually grades out. That's his best thing. He's really good against the run. So I like Hobbs, and I think Hobbs gives them a good size player who can play all over. And I like that. And he's only 26, you know, a lot of people are going, oh, you know, he's this, he's that. I'm like, hey, he's 26 years old. And he's a former high school, jumper. So he's got 40 inch vertical. He had an 11.3 broad jump. He's got very explosive lower body traits, which are great, you know, which I love to see in corners and receivers is the jumping ability. So Hobbs comes in the secondary. You got Greenlaw on the second level. They're bringing in Osa. And in the latest move, the Niners redid the contract of Nick Bosa. Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network reported it's a simple restructure of Nick Bosa's contract. It clears $17.1 million of cap space for 2026. And a lot of people believe that that cap space is going to be earmarked for Joey, who had a really good year in Buffalo. You know, I wasn't sure what Joey Bosa had left, but man, if he comes to the Niners and gives the Niners what he gave the Bills last year, I think they'll be thrilled. You know, I'm there are very few guys that can, you know, set the edge on first and second down and still kind of be a threat off the edge on third down. And I think the 49ers, you know, Max Crosby can do it. Trey Hendrickson can do it. But if you look at the rank and file guy out there, you know, who's available in free agency, the Leonard Floyds, it's like, no, he can't set the edge. He's just he's just going to kind of burn the edge a little bit as a third down rusher. So there's a lot of part-time guys. I actually think Joey Bosa is a three down defensive end, even at this juncture. I think he can play the run early on the early downs. I think he can play the pass on later downs. I think you could put him in a NASCAR package and line him up inside. You could, if you got a speed rusher duo that you really liked, you could rush him inside. You could rush him outside. You could play games with him. I think he's kind of a complete player. And John, I don't know about you, but I think the time's right to get Nick and Joey together. I think it would be a motivator for Nick. And I think it would, I think the Niners need to add fearsome defensive players and not be so worried about how old they are. And they've added a couple in Osa and Greenlaw. Joey Bosa would be a third. I think they need five or six fearsome defenders this year of any age. And I'd be excited if they could get them.
I do. And I kind of alluded to this a little bit. Not necessarily a departure from younger, cheaper, but not being so afraid to add veteran established players. And so you've seen that in Mike Evans and Dre Greenlaw and Osa. Like that is a good thing. Joey Bosa fits that. Like, I'm not the biggest Joey Bosa fan, but it feels like a lot of people are so polarized. Either he's incredible or he's completely washed up. I don't think it's either one. Like, he is an established edge rushing threat that continues to be effective. Is he a top 10 edge player? Is he a top 20 edge player? Probably not. But this is somebody that's going to get close to 20 quarterback hits a year. He's going to get close to 5 to 6 sacks a year. In today's NFL, a sack equates to about $2 million per year on the edge market, right? He had 5 sacks last year. Probably my favorite thing about Joey Bosa throughout his career is forced fumbles. A lot of kind of game-defining moments. That dude goes for the ball consistently. That's my favorite thing about his game. I think the Niners need a speed edge guy, probably more than Joey Bosa. But, man, you only have 3 defensive ends on your legitimate roster. I know there's some practice squad guys you get to bump up. But you've got Nick Bosa, the brother. You've got Mikael Williams coming back. You got Sam O. You need more edge players, period. And I know whenever we get to our mock, we're going to have a heavy emphasis, I would assume, probably in the first couple rounds. One of the first or second round picks is going to be on an edge, probably. But if you got Joey Bosa, I'll throw another name out there, Cam Jordan. Like, talking about those established, tough as hell, know what to do, still effective guys. Like, I would absolutely love that. Because there was a point last year in 2025 where you had 5 of your top 5 edge rushers all injured, not even suiting up for multiple weeks in a row. You have 3 edge players right now on your roster. 3. This is now you've got your starters. Mikael and Nick Bosa are your starters. There's nobody you're going to bring in the draft or free agency at this point that's going to challenge them early on. Like, you have your established starters. That's huge. But you've got to have the depth and the supplemental players that can, put fear into the quarterbacks. And I think Joey Bosa can contribute to that for sure.
You know, I always like to count the D line as far as like, do I, I think you got to go to camp with 15 guys that you like. And then I think you got to have a dozen guys that can really do it. And so, like, right now they got Nick Bosa, they have Osa Odighizuwa, they have Alfred Collins, they have Mikael Williams. Those are 4. Then you got Keon White, and you got Sam O, and you got CJ West, and you got Sebastian Valdez, who I think is NFL. So you got there's 8 guys there that are NFL. After that, you got Evan Anderson, you got William Bradley King. Those guys are kind of, there's kind of borderline, more practice squad level guys. So I count eight. So I would say you really need, you know, I like Anderson. I like William Bradley King. But as I said, practice squad level guys. So I think you need two or three defensive linemen still, you know, and you have a great need outside because you need five and five. You need Bosa. You got Bosa and Mikel and let's say Keon White and Sam O. So you got four decent defensive ends. And tackle wise, you got Collins and West and Osa and Valdez. So, you know, so you got probably could use a good tackle. You probably could use another defensive end. OK, before we get to the mock, let's flip to the other side of the ball. And what do you think of the Mike Evans signing? Some people didn't like it because they feel like Mike Evans has already played his best football. I think the best criticism I saw, you know, Colin Cowherd compared it to the Warriors getting Al Horford and saying, but I mean, to me, the Warriors are clearly done winning championships, where I don't know if the 49ers are in that clearly done winning championships. Golden State has no chance, where the Niners have a chance. What did you think of the Evans pickup? I was kind of hoping that they would go for younger guys, a Romeo Doubs. But when I look at the money that Evans got, where it's really more of a 2-year deal and it's really closer to like $15 million than it is to the $20 million that some of the other guys got. Heck, Pierce got $28.5 million. I kind of think for the price and all things considered, they probably got the right guy.
Yeah, it was a value deal. Like it was very clear. And at the press conference, you know better than anybody, like Evans chose the Niners, and it's not, you know, there were rumors of $27 million being floated around per year. Comes out to about $14, $15 million, like you alluded to. He wanted to be here. The number one hole on the 49ers roster going into the season was the X wide receiver. And even if you are in the club, which I would disagree with, and I think the tape disagrees with it as well, that Mike Evans is done or washed or too old or whatever else, 6'5" with that vertical and that arm length, he is a vertical threat. And he was a vertical threat last year. And so pairing that with Brock Purdy, you now take the top off. And if you go back to either of those Seahawks games, you know, week 18 or the divisional round of the playoffs, you had no wide receivers that could stretch the field vertically. It was like every single offensive snap the 49ers took was like a red zone snap because they didn't have to guard past 15 yards. Ricky Pearsall, non-existent, 40 plus snaps, no catches. Juwan Jennings, tough as hell, but like not a vertical guy. You're replacing that with Mike Evans. And even if you think Mike Evans is done, you could be in quarters cover three, shell top coverage, which the NFL runs predominantly now. The 49ers do as well. You're a one-on-one matchup with 6'5" Mike Evans. I don't give a damn if you're in perfect technique, in phase coverage as a corner or not. He's still open deep. Hey, you just throw that Flyers up sky ball like we used to do when we were kiddos. That dude's going to go up top and get it. So you now have a deep threat. And the physicality that Mike Evans still brings to the game, the passion that he still brings to the game, that dude loves football. And he's here for, you know, he said he needed four things that he was looking for in a team. He wanted somebody, you know, this offensive scheme that's going to get him open. He wanted, you know, a play caller that he considered elite. Kyle Shanahan checks that one easily. And he wanted a good quarterback. He said he was down to the Bills and Josh Allen or the 49ers and Brock Purdy, and he chose the 49ers. And the last of those four criteria was Super Bowl eligible. You know, wanted to compete for that. The Niners definitely, with what they did last year, getting a playoff win with that injured roster, this roster is head and shoulders better. And what were the words of Mike Evans? I thought they were missing one piece. I am the piece that they were missing. Gotta love that alpha mentality. I don't give a damn how old he is. That dude, he's competing. And it's an A&M guy, Larry. You know I hate A&M. So, like, come on, man. I'm trying to give props to, I don't know, what is that, maroon? That ugly color? but I'm trying to give you your props, my friend.
Well, you know, it's funny. The one thing I disagree with Mike Evans when he says, hey, they had one need and I'm you know, I feel it. Because, I mean, they have more than one need. But I thought it was cool that you know, he was asked, I think one of the media guys said, you know, you're kind of the anti-diva. And I love how instead of being just a total hypocrite and being like, yeah, you know, I'm not like those other guys, He's like, I understand the wide receivers who are divas and who throw tantrums. And then he admitted, I've thrown a tantrum or two. And I really love that about him, because to me, it's like, you know, he does. This is a guy, I think I've seen him yell at Tom Brady. I've seen him yell at Baker Mayfield. I've seen Brock yell at the receivers. So there could be some yelling going back and forth between Brock and Evans. But I just love that one without JJ and without Ayuk, you have to have somebody who can run the in-breaking route in the intermediate level. And this guy, I think, is going to run that route better than those guys ran it. And then, I think that's really important. And then also, I think you needed a volume receiver because you have no Kittle and you don't have a bevy of proven receivers. You need somebody who you can target 100 times and can catch 80 balls. And they were talking about Jalen Naylor. Jalen Naylor can't do that. So, it's important that you get somebody who can, and Evans can. And then also, I kind of think that he's gonna fit into their room really, really well. And it's refreshing that he wants to be there. It's also kind of refreshing for the anti-Brock crowd that he chose Brock Purdy and the Niners over Josh Allen and the Bills. That tells you at least how one receiver sees, Brock Purdy. It's not it's more anecdotal than anything, but still. I think that's kind of a cool thing. What did you think of the offensive line signings? The Niners signed two offensive linemen, but we're not really sure where either factors in or how it impacts their pursuit of other offensive linemen this offseason. They signed Brett Toth, the former Army tackle who's now a center/guard for the Eagles. They signed him, and they also signed Verdarian Lowe, who's a 35-inch arm backup tackle/backup guard, played 17 games in 2025, 4 starts, really served as Will Campbell's backup in New England. How did you see those two signings?
I think they're further evidence that the 49ers are not going to spend on offensive line as long as Chris Forster's the offensive line coach. The idea that he can get a lot out of these quote unquote average, below average players. And so they're going to pay average to below average prices on the offensive line. And just they're happy with their 4 guys that they consider to be studs. And so that left guard spot, like maybe the draft goes well, maybe they bring back a Ben Bartsch, but right now it's looking like, Toth versus Connor Colby for that left guard spot. And I think that they're kind of cool with that. They're playing next to Trent, which you're assuming they're going to be bringing back Trent. The moves do not indicate that they are willing to release Trent or trade Trent. I don't think that is really an option. I think you do have Trent Williams, camp out there trying to create drama to drive up the price some more. He's all about that money. He's going to get paid, but I don't think that left guard spot is really something that they're going to address with premium capital, whether salary cap or draft picks. The only way I could see that playing out is if they drafted an offensive tackle in the first round, which again, they haven't even drafted an offensive tackle in 4 consecutive drafts, kicked them into guard, that left guard for the first, year or two until Trent does hang up the cleats, then they kick out to left tackle. But nothing that the 49ers have done in the draft would suggest that they're open to that. I know fans want that probably more than anything, but again, this is a team that hasn't drafted a center in 13 consecutive drafts, and they haven't drafted an offensive tackle in 4 consecutive drafts, the only teams in the NFL to be able to claim those two things. So I don't see them going out and adding a left guard that is a premium plug-and-play player, and I don't think there's a lot available in free agency, and I doubt they're going to do it at that first or second round pick in the draft. Could be wrong. Hope I'm wrong, but I think kind of what you see on the offensive line is what you're going to get with this team moving into the draft or moving into the season.
What do you think is going to happen with Trent Williams? I mean, it's interesting. I mean, the reports are all over the place on this, John. I mean, on one hand, the Niners want to keep him. He wants to stay, and everything sounds very copacetic. But then there's been some reports that the 49ers are really tied to a certain price, and that if that they actually would try to help Trent get more money and hand deliver him to whatever team is willing to pay him more money if they could work out some form of compensation in a trade. So it almost gets, I almost get the feeling like the Niners would rather part ways with him than pay him the going rate. And it's like, will he take, it's almost like they're daring him to take a pay cut in the twilight years. And I don't know. I mean, it's played in the present. It plays like, well, he's coming back and they're going to work it out and he'll be extended. But something tells me there's more there than that. And I don't know what kind of trade market there is for Trent. Some people are suggesting, well, trade him for a second. Well, if there was a second round draft choice available for him, I think the Niners would have taken it by now. My guess is that there's not a second round draft choice, but you know, there's talk about Houston. I would take Arianti Ursary and a day three pick for Trent right now, just to get down the road and to get younger at the position and to not have that cap, you know, the dead cap potentially over their head in future years. I don't know if that deal's out there, but Houston is trying to pretend that the O-line was the problem and not C.J. Stroud. And maybe, you know, maybe they would make that kind of a deal. Maybe Kansas City could offer you something. If they really want Trent, it sounds like if the Niners cut Trent, they want to be there to pick up the pieces for nothing. But I don't know if they're willing to trade any compensation, probably not a high compensation. What's your read on this? Because there's it's not, even Mayoko said it has a different feeling this year than past years, as far as they've done this dance with Trent a few times on the renegotiation, but he made it seem like it seems different this time.
The one thing Trent will do, will he will drag this out to the deadline, and he is not taking any type of hometown discount ever. This is somebody that's made over $220 million in his career, and incredible. But and he's the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. That ain't going to change, and he ain't going to take less for anybody. And if that means he's not going to practice and he's going to sacrifice his play to start the season, that is not a priority for Trent. We've already seen that not once, but twice. So I do not see this being resolved anytime soon. I do not see the 49ers releasing him. I think that would be the biggest mistake ever. Like, you have him locked up in contract. Don't release that dude. Get something in return. Or I don't think he's going to retire either. So you kind of, you got to, I don't,
you're either going to extend him or you're going to trade him.
Yeah, that's it. And so you try to extend them and you keep working on that, but Trent ain't going to sign it. Even if you offered what I think, if you went to an arbitrator right now and offered Trent Williams a reasonable deal, Trent Williams ain't going to sign that deal. Like, he has never done that at any point in his career. He's never did it at Washington, the multiple times he did it there. Even the draft day trade to the Niners took place during day two, and he threatened to retire because they were going to trade him to the Vikings. He said, nope, I'll retire. I'll never sign a contract. Like, Trent is a poker player that has $220 million on the table already, and he is going to get every damn penny, and he's going to wait. So I personally hope I'm wrong. I don't think this is going to have a resolution anytime soon, and I can see this drag in past the draft. I can see this drag in past training camp. I want to get him signed. I want to get him paid, but Trent is about that money. He ain't making no decisions anytime soon, in my opinion.
ESPN, by the way, has an article out this morning. Aaron Schatz, ESPN analyst, identified the teams that they thought did the best in the first week of free agency. And they have the Panthers, the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Steelers, and the Niners. And Schatz likes the Mike Evans signing. But then he also pointed to Vedarian Lowe. And he said Lowe is not the best player out there. His pass block win rate was 89.2% last season, which is below average, although his run block win rate was an above average 75.7%. However, he fits well in San Francisco as a swing tackle, just in case something happens with Trent Williams' contract situation, or in case 37-year-old Williams comes back but gets hurt during the 26th season. So it's interesting to see that somebody likes Vedarian Lowe. He does have long arms, doesn't have a lot of playing experience, but that's kind of an interesting signing. All right, let's last question, and then we'll get to the mock. What do you think now that the Niners, you know, they've made some improvements, right? I mean, do they have to go wide receiver in round one? Well, they just signed Mike Evans. You know, they may not have to go wide receiver in round one. It doesn't sound like they're going to go offensive line in round one. It doesn't feel to me, John, like they want to draft a tackle because they don't want to have their first round draft choice potentially not play at all this year, sitting behind McKivitz and Trent Williams. They could always play their left tackle at left guard, but then the other question is, well, why wouldn't you just try to get a premier left guard and just plug him in there? The Venga Owane from Penn State, to me, is one of the most dominating guards I've seen. He might be a Quentin Nelson. He might be worthy of that 27th pick or even trading up. So then there's you know, the offensive line. Do you go offensive line? You need a tight end, but Kenyon Sadiq's most likely not going to be there at 27. So would you go tight end? You may need a replacement for Juice long term, but they're also talking about bringing back Brian Robinson. And you know, I mean, that they re-signed Patrick Taylor. I thought that was a little bit of a surprise. You could go defensive tackle, but you have Osa and Collins and West inside. You know, you could go defensive end. You could go stacked linebacker, but you have Winters, Warner, Greenlaw, Wallow, Bethune, Martin. You got six guys, Gifford. You got seven linebackers right now. I don't know that they're going linebacker. They could go corner, but most teams have five. They have Renardo, Stout, Lenore, Luter, and Saran Neal, and now Nate Hobbs. Not to mention Eli Apple, Jacob Robinson. So they're pretty deep at corner. They could use another safety, but they also have Mustafa and Siegel and Brown. And you know, I mean, so they're now in a position where they might be able to go best player available. What would you see as the number one need going into free agency as we start this mock?
I think it would 100% be edge rusher, speed edge rusher. You don't have that on your roster. And so you plugged a lot of holes. I think the number two would be wide receiver, because even if Mike Evans is what you're paying for the next year or two, man, I still think you only have two quality wide receivers. And the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan have spent the most draft capital at that position since Shanahan showed up, and you're still at a huge need there. So edge rusher and wide receiver, those are definitely the two. Now, I don't want to call them glaring needs, but definitely valuable pieces that this front office and coaching staff values and have spent multiple first-round picks on at those two premium positions, which they are. You look at what's been spent at free agency. So edge rusher, wide receiver, it's going to be hard for me to not go there with that first-round pick. Maybe if a stud offensive tackle falls, but even then, if I jump into Chris Forster, the offensive line coach is, you know, whatever, what does he always say? He says, oh, go get the skill guy that can, you know, right. Whatever. He's like, I can make it work with these average players. So, yeah, I'd struggle with not taking an edge speed guy or a wide receiver in the first round, just based on the 49ers logic and how they've presented themselves over the past decade.
No, I think that's well said. All right, we'll do this. We'll do a quick stop down for some commercials, and then we will jump quickly into our mock draft. It's not going to be a lengthy mock draft because the Niners don't have tons of picks, and we'll rapid fire through it. But first, let's just tell you that the Krug Show is brought to you by Pig and a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week. They're soon to open in Petaluma in 2026. Go say hi to Damon and Mary. Get some brisket chili. Tell them that Krug sent you. We're also brought to you by Novato Chevrolet, voted best dealership by the community on Nextdoor's app, 2025 Neighborhood Watch, or Neighborhood Fave, I should say. Great dealership, family-owned for over 50 years, friendly staff, great selection, great service, amazing dealership. When I buy a Chevrolet, I will only buy it from Novato Chevrolet. Go see my man, David Corral. He will take care of you. They're fantastic from start to finish. You know, they have short wait times on their service. They'll take in your trade, even if you don't buy a car from them. Really a top-notch dealership, Novato Chevrolet. Thanks to Novato Chevrolet for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. Also, thanks to Alomar Marina, the best lunch spot in Sacramento. AlomarMarina.net on the web, 5999 Garden Highway. They're open Wednesday through Saturday, 11 to 7, Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. If you want to float while having breakfast or lunch, floating on the Sacramento River, you're going to love Alomar Marina. 5999 Garden Highway. Try the shrimp tacos, the lobster rolls. Awesome. The burgers are fantastic. Great breakfast spot. Great lunch spot. Great spot to watch a game and float on the Sacramento River while you watch. So thanks to them for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. And also thanks to Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles. 205 Cypress Avenue in Pacific Grove, California, along the Monterey Peninsula. Call the great Anthony Catania at 831-521-5264. All right, let's share the screen and let's go rapid fire on our mock draft. And John, you can either have the first pick or you can have the second pick, and I'll let you decide which one you prefer. And we'll get right into this and fire away. And it's, you know, I think this is, it's more fun to do these mock drafts after, you know, after you see some free agents sign, because then it's like, hey, you don't have every single need still out there. So I'm going to go Pro Football Network.
Let's do it.
And let's see. You can see this, right? Make sure. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so you can see it. Okay, so which would you prefer? Would you prefer to be pick number 27, or would you want to pick with their second pick?
It's up to you. I'll let you roll. Man, you're kind enough to, you know, invite me on this show today. So, man, I got to pass it back to you, Larry. This is your opening bid, and I see Texas A&M guys available to you.
Yeah, so, okay, so now here's the first round. And if you're just going all, Caden Proctor is staring you right in the face. KC Concepcion, very fast receiver, staring you right in the face. Blake Miller, good offensive tackle from Clemson, staring you right in the face. Maybe the most athletic linebacker or one of them in C.J. Allen right there. Kristen Miller is a buddy of Mikel Williams, and that would be a very popular move with Mikel. But, of course, the Niners already have a tackle. You could trade back here because Ty Simpson is sitting right there, and you know people are going to want to trade up potentially for Ty Simpson. There's Colton Hood. There's T.J. Parker. There's Ian Acher, Emmanuel McNeil Warren, D'Angelo Pons, Chris Bell. There's a lot of guys here. What do you think? What do you think? Lee Hunter. Oh, my God. Lee Hunter is one of my favorites. Malachi Lawrence is one of my favorites. Keith Abney, you know, Kyle Posey from Niners Nation. So I was talking up Keith Abney, and I did a Keith Abney deep dive this week. He was a, you know, unlike a lot of guys who have a background in basketball or football or baseball or a different sport track, he was a speed skater. He was like a roller skater guy. Keith Abney. Junior for the second for Arizona State. There's Denzel Boston. There's Halsey. There's Brazels. There's a lot of guys here. There's a lot of guys here. So what is the need? What is the priority? I think the priority for me is because, you know, here's the thing. Do you have somebody late in the draft that you feel fills one of these needs? I kind of like some offensive linemen and some defensive linemen later. Like, I like Micah Morris from Georgia. I like Emil Wagner. And I like the kid, Owawu, who's fantastic for Oklahoma, who played guard, and then they put him at center in the Shrine game. He didn't allow a sack or a pressure like his entire career. I really like those three guys, and none of them are projected to go in the first couple rounds of the draft. So I feel okay passing on the Caden Proctors of the world. I think I'm going, I think the Niners need some junkyard dogs on their defensive line. And to me, the best pick out there is Zion Young. So I'm going edge.
I thought you were going Lee Hunter. You
I love Lee Hunter. I do love Lee Hunter. And Lee Hunter is a great pass rusher and a good run defender. But you're already, you know, Osa's going to start. You got West. You got Collins. So are you going to start Lee Hunter and sit those guys on the bench? Both of them? I don't know. I to me, Lee Hunter is really good, but Zion Young, I think, could wind up starting opposite. You know, the other concern I have is with no Huff and with Bosa coming off an injury, you also have Mikal coming off an injury. And so I'm really concerned about winding up with no pass rush. So I'm going to probably go a little extra on pass rushers. So I'm starting off with Zion Young. So I now like you're up, and you're up at pick 58, and you have a trade offer here. If you want to trade back, you could trade back, offering next year's seventh, and you would get 83-110 in Carolina's third. You can counter that, or I can take this away, and you can just pick.
Yeah, so I want to say about the if you can get 2027 draft capital, nobody's giving that up besides the Cowboys. You talked about how dumb the Cowboys are. They already give up a 2027 first rounder. Like, that draft is going to be unbelievable. But I'm seeing names here. I am not taking that trade. I am staying on the clock. And I kept saying the whole time, like, you go edge and you go wide receiver. Those are the two biggest needs. And I'm seeing
again. Do you want me to show you? I can also show you the wide receivers if you want to just look at wide receivers.
This is an awesome wide receiver class. Like, this is a great wide receiver class.
Talk a little bit about the guys that you see here. Do you like these names? I mean, to me, the guys that jump out to me here, Jacoby Lane had such an amazing combine workout. His ball skills and size are really crazy. I mean, he kind of has some OBJ type catches where it's like, what? Are you kidding me? It's like, is Jacoby Lane like a superstar? I don't know. He looks amazing. Lance's brother looks pretty damn good. He's fast. He's big. Zachariah Branch looks pretty amazing.
Quick, shifty, man. I mean, he's basically a souped up version of Jacob Cowing. So, like, if you want those small, shifty type wide receivers, Antonio Williams out of Clemson. Yeah, you've got Zachariah Branch. Like, you can go get those guys. But the thing that makes this draft so special is the X wide receivers. And in Kyle Shanahan's offense, like, you have the X, and then you have the burner slot. And you can go back to his days at the Falcons. You can go to Washington, whatever. Whenever he has that burner slot that can take the top off and those clear out routes, it just opens up everything. And so you could draft a guy that could play that big slot role that is a burner, and then eventually move to the X role, which Shanahan's done several times in his career. I have a first-round grade, and I know this is a little wild, and you're probably going to disagree with me. Chris Brazel II. I absolutely love this guy. And again, I'm going back to schools I can't stand. I can't stand the fake UT. I'm at Longhorn. It's the fake one. But Chris Brazel II, 6'4", ran a 4.3. And my favorite thing about him is he has the counter moves built into his repertoire already. He's a burner. He's a downfield threat, go balls, whatever else. That's what he does. But what his best trait is whenever he's at full speed, sinking those hips and running that comeback route or that deep curl. And so what are you going to do? Are you going to play over the top and stay in phase? If you do that, he shuts the route down, comes back underneath. He's open so consistently. So I like Jacoby Lane. He fits that kind of, again, big X wide receiver that could do so much. But I am so high on Chris Brazel II. Now, he might fall because that offense is just absolutely gross to watch. Doesn't run the full route tree. It's very similar to Ole Miss whenever you drafted Jordan Watkins, where it's like, man, how is this going to translate? That's a struggle. But the elite character traits of Chris Brazel II, I would argue, has some of the highest ceilings of any wide receiver in this entire draft class. But first round's probably a little too rich for him. I'm going Chris Brazel right here the second round, and I'd be ecstatic. He gets to learn behind Mike Evans. The ceiling is off the freaking charts. Come on, man.
It's funny, too. It's like you always got to decide. Do you go for a need? Do you go for best player available? Man, look at the four players that just went right in front. To me, if any of these guys fell to the Niners, which would just be one or two more spots, I'd have a hard time passing any of these guys. Caleb Banks, I know he's got a foot problem, But, man, he's awesome. And if he fell to the second round, that would be hard to pass up. Jacob Rodriguez, his production and then his combine workout, I mean, what he did at Texas Tech, he's a safe pick for sure. C.J. Allen is a fantastic linebacker. And this kid, Ted Hurst, I find it hard to believe the Bears are going to go receiver right there, especially with all the receivers they have. They have, if anything, they have a surplus of receivers as it is, even with the trade of Moore. So, I mean, Ted Hurst might be my guy, but I like Brazel as well. That's a good one. So we'll put Brazel to the Niners. They got a big receiver there, and they've got a defensive end. Now here I am picking in. Where am I here? Where am I? I'm going to pick 127.
So these are the four fourth rounders pretty much right in a row.
So they have no third rounder because that's the one they just traded to the Cowboys. Let's see what the Cowboys did with that third rounder. They took this guy, Lewis Moore. Okay, so now the Niners are on the board with their first pick in the fourth round, pick 127. Let's go to all and take a look at who's on the board. Let's see. Chandler Rivers is interesting, small corner. Logan Jones has some incredible workout numbers. What a fast center he is. I definitely could see him being a choice of firsters, you know, just because he is such a fast center. Landon Robinson is really intriguing to me. What an amazing mover he is at defensive tackle. Malachi Fields, didn't love the fact that he didn't run a good 40 time. So I would say him.
Yeah, that was a rough workout. And again, this was somebody that people were saying second round, maybe third round, but he's going to fall after that workout.
Gosh, this is really tough. You know, Zane Durant is there still, and that's the guy that I wanted to get. To me, that's the guy that I wanted, and I loved his workout. J.C. Davis is there, though. Keon Crawford is a good defensive end. God, there's some good options here. A lot of people like Romello Height, too. And supposedly the Niners are working him out. He's only 230 pounds.
He fits that speed, right? That if you want that bend, he's more of a bend guy than a speed guy off the edge. But, again, Niners don't have that.
Yeah, this is where it really starts to open up a little bit. But let me see offensive line-wise. Let me see. Do I see an offensive lineman that I really, really like? Jeremiah Wright is one of my favorite offensive linemen. So I guess the guy that I liked from Oklahoma is gone. So he's off the board. I like Micah Morris. He's really down low. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's listed as a center. No, he's off the board. Coogan's there. I'm not going to mess around. I really love this player, and I know they got Osa, but I'm going to take Zane Durant anyway. I think Zane Durant, the way he moved, his athleticism, you can't have enough interior rushers. If you have an interior rusher who's dangerous, you know, you can play them in a rotation. Even if you have backup guys, and that can overwhelm teams. So I'm going to take Zane Durant. Now, this is intriguing. You're up here at pick 133, and this is the kind of move that I don't think I could turn down.
You've got Washington offering pick 147, 187, 223 to jump up to this 133 spot. If the Niners got something like that, you take the damn trade. They don't have any picks for the next three rounds, like fifth, six, seven, nothing.
Let's take this trade.
100%, man. And I could see the Niners doing this. Do you get an offer like that? Because now you're back on the board with back-to-back picks, 138 and 139. So, now you kind of took what has fallen to you. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that made the trade even much more of a no-brainer because you just traded a pick and now you're picking, you know, you had another pick coming up. You had two more picks coming up. So you're up now, and I'll put all up there so you can take a look at the entire board. What direction you want to go? This is who we have so far. Let's see. There it is. Started with Zion Young. You went with Chris Brazel. I came back with Zane Durant. We've got a defensive end, a wide receiver, and a defensive tackle. So the people that are like, you need to go O-line all day, all night, are losing their mind right now.
Yeah, and this is what the 49ers do. So let's take a look at the offensive tackles. Let's kind of see what's there. And just kind of see how that kind of processes out and see what we can find. Yeah, J.C. Davis there.
I love J.C. Davis. Now, he went to McClyman's. He had some bad reps at the Senior Bowl where he got bulldozed. But, man, he's 335 pounds. He's athletic. There's, you know, Dieter's a big fan of this kid from Missouri, Keegan Trost. I thought Diego Pons had a pretty good workout as well. I like Emil Wagner, but he's kind of a developmental player. I kind of like Alan Heron, but I think he needs some footwork help.
Scroll back up to the top real quick, if you don't mind. So we're seeing Bell, we're seeing Trost. Man, so like I do like J.C. Davis. I think it's a little bit of a reach. He's not the fastest off the line, but he does kind of fit what the 49ers need. I do like the 322. So, like, he is one of those guys that you could kick into guard if you needed to. Let's check the guard position, if you don't mind, Larry. If I did go tackle, J.C. Davis would be at the top of that list. But, again, I'm just kind of like,
ooh. Niners looked at this guy, Max Harkey. A lot of people like Fernando Carmona. You know, of this list, you know, I mean, there's different kinds of blockers, of course, but I like Jeremiah Wright, who is more of a gap scheme guy than a zone blocker. But, man, what a big, awesome blocker he is. I love this power guard from A&M, Armage, Reed Adams.
Yeah.
He is 340 pounds and just a bulldozer. If you go further down the list, Micah Morris had a, you know, this guy needs a lot of coaching, but man, as far as he played in the SEC, he played left guard. He had a 170 10-yard split. That's a great 10-yard split.
He was quick.
You know,
let's see the top of that list one more time, if you don't mind, Larry. Farmer, I'm cool with Farmer. And, you know, again, you talk about, you know, the Kentucky kid, he's young, 6'4", 312. He had a 4.940, like speed. I'm really, really high on him, and, like, he is definitely at the top of my list. But let's see just kind of best player available across all positions, because this is what the Niners do. They don't do best player available early. But once they get in the fourth round, they do start to do a lot more of that best player available, and kind of they'll double take a position or something along those lines. So
Let me move that best player available. Let me go to all.
Yeah, there we go.
These pop-ups. All right, there we go. So this is awesome. Malik Benson from Oregon, the speedster, is number one. Landon Robinson, Malik Fields. I can push down a few.
Yeah, no, there's some wide receivers that are available. Ooh, you even got the running back. You can go with the third round running back that the 49ers kind of always do, but we're not going to do that. You do have a safety, Michael Taft. I'm struggling. I got to talk about one Longhorn.
He's very light, isn't he?
I'm a diehard 49 or Longhorn fan. I don't think that Taft's the best fit for the 49ers. I think that they met with him. But there is one guy that I saw on there. I want to scroll back up to the tight end position. Jack Injuries. He is a Cal kid, transferred out to the University of Texas. Just the guy that does literally everything you've ever wanted. 6'5", 245. Like, he is just your jack of all trades that has so much freaking experience. This dude has over 2,000 snaps at the tight end position. You've got Sam Roush. He's got much more upside. Ah, I didn't see Sam Roush was there. I think that this is a tight end spot for me. I think the Niners need another tight end. I love Jack Injuries. I think he's a perfect fit for the 49ers. But Sam Roush, I think, has much more upside. So I'm going to go Sam Roush, the Stanford kid, at tight end. And, man, I would be absolutely ecstatic if they were able to get one of those two guys. Thought they should have drafted a tight end last year. They didn't. Sam Roush would be a fun player to get and add to this team.
That's a good one. Very strong inline blocker. And
almost,
I know,
like, the Niners need that, right?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I think he's a good kid. He's really, really athletic. He fights the ball a little bit. You saw it a little bit in one of the All-Star games, but you know what? That's a good pick. That's a good pick. They need a tight end for sure. All right. So now here we are. We're at pick 139. Let me just take a look at the board real quick. They're not going quarterback, but Talen Green's there, and I do think he's an intriguing prospect. Nick Singleton is a big back who runs in the 4.3s.
I paused on him when you were scrolling a while ago. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, he's good. Jam Miller is really interesting. They had a terrible run game, but he is one of the best blocking running backs I've seen in a long time. He's got 4.4 speed. He's 221 pounds. I mean, this is like Frank Gore, Garrison Hurst. This guy will blow you up in the run game. He is a phenomenal blocker. And that, you know how much the Niners care about blocking. So let's look at receiver. Malachi Fields, Deion Burks. God, those are hard to pass up. Tyron Montgomery is a really good player, too. I don't think he even played football until late. Josh Cameron from Baylor is a kind of a horse.
He's played more snaps than almost anybody in this draft. That dude, he's a five-year starter.
Jeff Caldwell's got great speed. Now, you went tight end. Let's see offensive tackle. The J.C. Davis is there, and I do like J.C. Davis. I like Emil Wagner, too, and he's further down the list. Let's jump over to the defense, see who the best players are defensively. Landon Robinson staring me in the face. God. And yet they don't really need him. Rashawn Benny's a good player. Let's look at edge. Can never have enough edge.
Oh, Romello's still there.
Romello's there, and he's really athletic.
Again, we have an addressed speed rusher. I'm not saying you take the pick. This is just going on in my head.
No,
and these
know.
Are the conversations they have in the draft room. Like the defensive coach will pipe up and be like, hey, we ain't got our speed guy yet, man.
You know, I'm looking at linebacker, but it's going to be hard to make this team at linebacker, and I'm not sure if I like these guys. I like some guys late there. Let's look at corner. Corners, I like Devin Marshall. I like Dalen Everett.
I do, too.
Wow, I don't see a corner. It's not a great corner draft. This guy, Pride, is super fast. Let's take a look at safety.
Taft's still there.
There's E.J. Payne is there. He's a pretty good player, too. Gosh, this is tough. This is really tough. I think I'm going to go to the edge and see what I like. Anthony Lucas from SC is pretty big. Height is really athletic. Tucker is a great productive guy, too. Tyreek Sapp only had one sack in college, but, man, he's a really intriguing player. I like Caden Curry. I think he's kind of a sleeper. God, we're in this kind of in-between kind of spot.
It's a weird draft to have a lot of force, if I'm going to be honest with you.
What do you think of this guy from Bryce Betcher from Oregon? You like?
Yeah, 6'1", 233. Didn't test at the combine. Not a lot of experience. But you kind of look at what he brings. He's a run game stuffer. So, like, Tatum Bethune type of a guy, not going to be your elite athlete, but you want to stop the run game. You're looking for that Sam linebacker / special teamer. I think that's what he fits.
This is tough. This is a tough spot in the draft for sure. It's none of these are going to be easy picks, but I'm going to go with Jam Miller out on the blocking. I want a big time blocking back. You're running back that, you know, you got to know the Niners. They're never going to put any running back on the field that can't either really play or block. And if you can't, and at least Jam Miller is fast. And I know Alabama had a bad year running the ball, but, I want that dominant blocker, so I'm gonna go him there. Now you're up here. Now to me, this would be another no brainer, moving back 11 spots to get another pick.
I don't cancel the trade, but if Romello Heights is there as an edge rusher, then I'm running this card in because this again, I will go back. I think it's the biggest need of the team. And he's there. And so Romello Heights, like, this is your speed edge guy, 6'3", 240 pounds, 4'6 speed, elite off the edge, bend, explosive. 49ers already had a meeting with him. So I'm going Romello Heights there. And, you know, probably don't want to wait this long for the speed edge guy, but we got Zion Young in the first round, which is a damn good pick. And now you pair that up and you just say, hey, man, you're going to come in and all you're doing your rookie year is just third and long speed rush off the edge.
So now we're in that part of the draft where we're, you know, I've got one pick, you've got one pick, unless there's a trade that comes up here. And I don't think there is. I don't think anybody's offering us a trade. So let's take a look at now. It's kind of now I think this is you're in the best player available for time for sure. Some of the players that I really like, I got to get an offensive lineman here. I got to go offensive line here. So I'm going to go to the offensive line. Let's see. Now I can have Amiel Wagner, who I really like from Notre Dame. Or I can have Micah Morris, who I really like from, or Armaj Reed Adams from A&M, who's a gigantic destroyer. I think I'm taking the A&M kid. I want to run the ball. I want some powerhouse blockers. This guy's 340 pounds, and I think he's a horse. Armaj Reed Adams at 187. So you're up for the final pick here. It's also kind of interesting. Sometimes I like to take a look at like who's on the board because we're at towards the end of the draft. Some of these guys are going to go undrafted.
Yeah, so I'm seeing this is where it gets fun. You know what I mean? Because it's like you traded back. These are extra guys. We've seen the 49ers do some wild, crazy things at the back end of drafts and just kind of, you know, do whatever. Is there somebody that you see that you're like, ooh, I could hear the 49ers say it now. We didn't think that there were guys available that could make our roster. So, you know, fill in the blank. I see Cole Wisnowski, the safety. You could definitely use that. Caleb Proctor, the defensive tackle. I like that. There's some guys there. But this is a philosophical idea. Larry, you tell me if I'm wrong. You're the personnel guy. I believe in drafting a quarterback every single year. Okay. I just believe in it.
I do too.
And so, like, is there a spot for him? Who knows? Maybe you trade, you know, Mac Jones at the trade deadline. Maybe you keep him, whatever else. But you're sitting there, and I'm looking at Drew Lar, which if he would have came out of the draft last year, probably would have been a second or third round pick. Definitely got injured. There's some major issues, but there's upside, and there is something there about him that is special. He needs seasoning. Nobody disagrees with that. But we traded back and got an extra pick. I'm going to take Drew Lar here and just, you know, kind of see what it is, redshirt him, maybe even put him on the NFI, hide him for a year like we've seen Shanahan do a few times. But that quarterback, I would be totally cool. This is a bonus pick, and it's just one of the things I believe in. Always
Drew Aller.
Take a quarterback. I'm taking Drew Aller. Yeah, I'm taking him out of Penn State. I'm not the biggest fan, but the upside is there. And if he's going to be successful, it's going to be in a Shanahan scheme. Let him learn. Is there somebody else that you like at the quarterback position that you see that you're like, ooh?
These are the guys that, to me, I mean, and I've looked at this position a lot. So you got Aller, who's a big, big, you know, statuesque quarterback, big pocket passer. You have Jalen Daniels from Kansas, who's a athletic quarterback, but he's had a lot of injuries, okay? You have Haynes King from Georgia Tech, who's one of the toughest guys ever. And he's really tough, and he's very athletic. But, you know, he was a five-star. It just didn't happen at A&M. He went to Georgia Tech. He was better there. You know, I like him, but I don't love him. But I do kind of love this Gronowski kid from Iowa. Now, he went and played in a terrible offense at Iowa, and it didn't look very good. He had 10 touchdowns and 7 picks. But this guy was the MVP of the ReliaQuest Bowl against Vandy. Then he went to the Shrine Game. He was the MVP of the Shrine Game. He's 6'3", 230, and he's got 10.25-inch hands. He's a mechanical engineering major. So, I mean, that tells you he's a genius. So he's smart. He's big. He's athletic. He's got big hands. He won the MVP of the bowl game and the All-Star game. to me, that's the guy for me. Now, I also kind of like Jacob Clark from Missouri State, who's a big 6'4 kid who's very, very competitive. I like him quite a bit. Tyler Van Dyke. Is that the same Tyler Van Dyke that was at Miami a few years ago?
SMU, man, the transfer capital quarterback of the world.
What do you think of him? I mean,
SMU's offense is always fun and kind of, you know, designed that air raid, whatever. But my thing is, I'm taking ceiling, right? And so that's the idea. I mean, Drew Aller, you can go back. That dude was Mr. Football Ohio. Touchdown turnover ratio is off the charts. It needs time. But yeah, there's a lot of guys, and I always want to take a quarterback every single year. And with the trade back, I think that gave us a spot. And man, I'm looking at this. We didn't get no O line. We didn't get no safety. This is like the most 49ers.
No, we got one O lineman. We got Armaj. We got one Armaj Reed Adams. But we didn't take an offensive lineman.
This is Chris Forster. He did it for us. This is exactly right. What he would do.
Well, you know, and in this scenario, you could get Emile Wagner and Micah Morris. You could get those guys as undrafted players. And, you know, I mean, if you like doesn't, you know, the Niners like speed and athleticism and undersized guys. And, you know, a lot of times those guys aren't necessarily going all that high. So in this mock, we got the defensive end spot solved with Zion Young. We got a nice big receiver who can really run in Chris Brazzle. We got another interior rusher in Zane Durant, who between Osa and Durant, I mean, my God, you really now can cook inside. You got the big, powerful tight end who can block.
I'm a fan. I mean, I think we're Sam really Roush in the fourth would be badass.
We really helped Christian McCaffrey an awful lot in this draft. I mean, if you think about it, that you gave him a Sam Roush blocker at tight end, you gave him a Jam Miller blocker, you know, in the backfield. Now we help Purdy in that regard. And then Armaj Reed Adams, you get a big drive blocking guard. And so I think in some ways you're running the ball. What did we ignore? There's no corner, but they have good numbers at corner.
They do.
There was no safety. I'll say this. I
got three young guys there already. I want a safety and free agency that you can get. And you saw him pick up Gibson off the scrap heap. I could see the Niners doing that. I don't want more youth at safety unless it's a first or second rounder. And I don't think they're going to do that.
Was there a player that you saw on the board that you were like, you know what? I don't have any more picks, but I would absolutely go after that guy as an undrafted player. Because to me, the two guys I'm thinking of, one is Miles Rouser, the safety for ASU, who's a real hitter. I mean, this guy is a real hitter. He's just a violent, come flying up kind of a hitter. I love Miles Rouser, and he's projected to go in the seventh round. The other guy, I mean, I love Gronowski, I told you, but I'm a big fan of Dylan Bell, the Georgia receiver who, you know, they have all these other guys, but it seemed like Dylan Bell just kept playing big in big moments. And then he went to the Shrine game. He looked great in the practices there at the combine. I think he ran 4.50, which is not great. Just kind of mediocre, but then he had a 39 inch vertical. He was like top 10% vertical and he had really good jumps. He's a converted running back. They recruited him as a running back. They moved him to receiver. I love Dylan Bell at the next level. To me, if they could get Miles Rouser and Dylan Bell in the undrafted market, I'd be all about it. Is there
an undrafted player? Safeties. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the 49ers don't value the safety position in the draft. They really, really don't. But you look at, like, Oklahoma, Robert Spears Jennings, high-end speed guy, 6'2", kind of versatile, whatever. He could kind of play the nickel, big nickel, safety spot. Or Dalton Johnson out of Arizona. You said ASU. I'll stay in state. Another high-end speed guy, 4'4", kind of, you know, a lot of experience that could play both those spots. But I don't want more young safeties. You have three in-house already. And so, all on rookie deals. So if you're going to add a safety that's going to be through the draft, I want it to be very early. And a top tier playmaker like Emmanuel McNeil Warren, but will they spend that? Or Dylan Thienemann? Like, I would not be upset if you traded back from 27 and somehow he fell to the 30s. I doubt he does after his combine and how he tested. But like, if you're not going to get a premium safety in this draft, wait till the undrafted free agent. Like, that's just kind of how I see it. Because you have so much youth. What is another rookie safety going to do that's not a premium talent? I just, like, you're just beating a dead horse to death. And the 49ers don't spend value. They don't spend draft capital early on that position. So I just don't see it. So this was a little bit more of a predictive mock for me than what I would want to do, right, with the positions that we addressed. Again, I would address offensive line. I would address safety. I would address those things. But that's not really the way the 49ers build.
No, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we, you know, we could do what we would do, but then you also got to think, what would they do? And but I do like the way this offseason has gone. Let's hit our supers and we'll bolt for the door. Thanks to Habas Law, 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. Habas Law, a fantastic sponsor of the Krug Show. Once again, 1-800-INJURED, HabasLaw.com. On the web. Thanks to Habas Law for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. We've got this one from our man Clarence Beeks. He says, it's truly Larry season. 100%. Like and subscribe, you wastoids. Wastoids? 100%. Wastoids. We got this one. Who's that from?
Kimbro.
You have to read that for me. I can't even read that. Oh, JC. John Chapman and Larry are the best. There we go. We got this one, Fuji Simeon. I really like Concepcion first round or Jeremy Bernard in the second round. I'll say this about Concepcion. I think Concepcion is a really, really intriguing player. I mean, he's fast. He runs through arm tackles. He's really exciting. But do they need, you know, they got the receiver, the big receiver, the continuity piece. Now they could still use a speed receiver, and Concepcion definitely fits that mold. We have this one. He says, what does it say?
Flip Lombardi for a 10th round pick.
Flip Lombardi for a 10th round.
Let's keep Lombardi. He works hard.
Come on. We like Dave. Yeah. I can't even read that one. What does it say? McDerp?
Mr. Derp, 0071. Is this a perfect year to trade back in the draft?
I'm a trade back guy, but I'll say this. The Niners have done enough in free agency where if they looked at the Penn State guard and said, you know what, we think he's going to be, you know, the next Quentin Nelson, and he's going in the 20s, you may want to trade up. I know all the talk about take a tackle, play him at guard, and then move him to tackle, and it sounds good, you know, but I just kind of get the feeling that that Penn State kid is going to be really, really special. That's just my feel. What's this one? We have
Stefan Niners. He says, thank you for the super chat. First off, are we a top three favorite? Top five? I have us at 4 now. Where do you put them? Top five?
No, not top five. Not right now. They're going to need a little bit more. They need a big draft. I mean, they need to get 4 or 5 key pieces. I would say the Niners are probably between 8 and 12.
Ooh.
I think they're deeper. You got a lot of needs. You got a lot of needs. You got your doors blown off pretty good. You're a little bit of an older team. I think you got to wait till the draft before you can say. I mean, I like the free agent signings. I think it's a good start, but I still think they're not in that top tier quite yet.
Right. Here's Stefan again with the super chat. Yeah. Is there any way to not have Brindle start next year? Replacing him with a Pro Bowler might be enough to make us a Super Bowl favorite. Jake Brendel ain't going nowhere.
They love Brendel. They love Brendel. It's a real problem. I mean, they love Brendel. I mean, they just swear by Brendel, and it seems like they don't believe in Brendel in the game. So it's like, if you don't want to run behind Brendel on for 3rd and 1, why are you so adamant that he's your guy after the game? I'm not really getting that. But I don't want to beat up on Brendel because I don't think Brendel's like awful. I just don't think he's great, and it would be nice if they had a great center. As I said, go watch the kid from Oklahoma. He's a guard. His name's Awawu or something like that. But his Fabechi is his first name, Fabechi Awawu. But he played center at the end of the year and played really well, and he hasn't had a missed – he hasn't allowed a pressure in like 400 and something snaps. Anyway, a couple last ones here. What's this one say?
This is from Gnome, my man all the way out from, man, he traveled from Israel to come to a party last year. Yeah, really cool dude. Appreciate you, man. He says, will the two of you join us for draft day analysis of the NFC West picks? And Larry, did you and Kev book your Australia trip with John and the 49ers rush? Look at Gnome. He's plugging the Australia.
Well, why don't we take that opportunity? Because we do want to promote that John is going to Australia. Kev and I have not decided if we are going yet or not. But John, maybe you can influence us to go. I mean, what do we know? Is this definitely going to be week one?
It's going to be early September. I do think it's going to be week one.
Niners-Rams?
Yeah, Niners-Rams, I think it's going to be that Wednesday or Thursday. That way the teams get basically a mini bye traveling back from Australia. That's a long freaking flight, man.
How long is the flight?
It's going to be 17 hours from SFO, nonstop. Yeah, it's going to be killer. It's funny because you lose 2 days flying there, and then you fly back on the same day with the time change and the Earth rotation, all that stuff.
17 hours. What's the longest flight you've ever taken?
I've done 16. I did 16 one time.
Is it the same plane that you would normally fly to, like, here to LA?
A little bit bigger. It's not Southwest.
Going to Seattle, I was in the back row in the corner.
Don't sit there. That's not good.
Oh, my gosh. It was just like, it was unbelievable. I just felt sandwiched in there. I struggle with a 5-hour flight.
Yeah, it's hard, man. It's hard. And so when, 17 is rough.
When did it start? Did you have any point where you're like, I can't deal with this anymore?
Actually, pretty resilient. It's hard for me to sleep on planes. Like, I'm taking some prescription stuff, going to knock myself out and sleep, on the wife's shoulder or the window. But yeah, if you can't sleep, it's a problem. But after a while, you don't have a choice. You fall asleep whether you want to or not.
I was, wait a second. I'm not comfortable. But wait, my seat tilts. Oh, now, are you kidding me?
You got to get up.
I was uncomfortable, but now, are you kidding me? I can sleep for days.
If that's your thing, I always tell people, sit in the aisle. If that's like, if you feel that, I'm a bigger dude. Larry, I feel like you could freaking take me, but like, you know what I mean? Like, if you need that extra room, sit in the aisle. Trust me.
I'm 6'2", about 235.
Stud. My brother, linebacker.
My brother is 6'5". If you're like one of these big dudes, like 6'8", 6'9", like Dieter or something, how do you fly? I mean, you got to go first class, I guess, huh?
Yeah, or either that or emergency row.
Emergency row and then stretch out. Oh, man. Then you got to download some things. I always got to download some things on the iPad. I think last time I flew 5 hours to Philly, I think I watched that Receiver thing on Netflix and just watched the whole damn thing.
That's awesome.
Do we get this one? We got that one.
Yeah, so anyway, if you do want to come to Australia,
please promote.
Full package, we have flights included, nonstop from SFO.
What day are you flying? Are you flying? How many days before are you guys flying?
We're flying out Sunday, and we get back Monday. However, if you don't want to do the flights with us and you want to make it longer, you're coming from somewhere not SFO, we have a non-flight option. Hotels included, game day tickets included, all-inclusive tailgate, transportation to and from the game, to and from the airport. We're doing wine tasting dinner. We're going, like, we built this trip to be a once-in-a-lifetime, like you're never going back to Melbourne. The wife's coming. It's going to be incredible. We're taking deposits now. 100% fully refundable, no questions asked.
What is the cost? Do we know what the cost is?
So we have to wait till the actual day schedule comes out because that affects the flights, but the deposit is $499. Mm-hmm. And 100%. So if the schedule comes out, doesn't work, you're going to have 3+ weeks to cancel, full refundable deposit back. $499 is going to come back
in May or June when the schedule
all the way to
out.
May 31st, right? Gotcha, so the schedule's going to come out May 1st, probably early May, probably. You can cancel at any time. However, once we fill up our spots, if you don't have a deposit, then you can't come with us. So that we're trying to build this, and it's not a cheap trip.
How many spots are there?
We're at 100 right now. We're trying to build that out to more. And so that's why the deposits are going to help us if we need to expand this a little bit more. But you're going to be flying together, staying at the same hotel together, taking the bus together, tailgating together, all those things. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. It is open now. Click on the link. You put your deposit. Fully refundable. No questions asked. And again, you want to upgrade to first class. You want to upgrade to sideline seats. All those options are available as well. So the price, there's a giant price tier structure.
So you guys are all sitting together too. So you're sitting together
relatively,
somewhere?
Relatively. Yeah. It will be close to the same spot. If you're coming with a party of four, then yes, your four seats will be together. Most of our seats will be in the same section. So we'll be around each other, but it's guaranteed tickets. It's hard to get tickets for international games. That's fully guaranteed. And so it's just one stop, no stress. You put your deposit down. Everything is covered. If you want to add on or fly out early or late or whatever, all those are available for you. So 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go check it out now.
Johnny, you said the deposit is $500 roughly.
Correct.
Spitballing, and maybe you don't have this answer, but like, what do you think the total cost of the trip will be beyond the deposit, you know, the
right.
total cost when soup to nuts, flights, tickets, travel.
Depending obviously, on how depend, nice you want it to be, yeah, it's going to be probably $4,000 to $6,000. Like, yeah, and okay. if you just Google nonstop flights from SFO to Australia, that's $2,000 right there.
Right.
Boom.
Right.
I mean, it's an expensive trip, so it's not for everybody. And if you want to make it cheaper, you organize all your own travel and just come party with us. Like, that's there too. We wanted to take all of the stress out and just say, look, book this, come travel, have the time of your life. We'll handle everything, and all the logistics are taken care of.
Awesome. It sounds awesome. Okay, so now we've told people about it. Tell them how they can connect to you. What is the best way? There's probably multiple ways they can connect. And if they want more information, if they have questions, what's the best way to communicate with you or to get a hold of you?
Yeah, email is definitely the easiest. 49ersRushPodcast@gmail.com. That is just simple. 49ersRushPodcast@gmail.com. And the same way to listen to all the episodes we did. This is the 1,620th episode of the 49ers Rush Podcast. We do this for 10 years now. 49ers Rush Podcast, wherever you watch and or listen, social media, check us out there, or email 49ersRushPodcast@gmail.com. Hope to hear from you guys and come support us. Larry's the freaking man. Hopefully we could offer a change up from time to time. And we're going to keep recording together until Larry gets rid of me.
No, seriously, dude. We love chopping it up with you, and we love promoting your events. They're very, very cool to me, being on YouTube and being part of this Niner community. It's been really cool, but I don't think Kev and I really fully embraced what we are part of until we got on the plane, went to New Orleans, and saw all those fans and met so many of them in the quarter.
It's incredible, man.
And it's just awesome. I mean, it's absolutely awesome. And the fans that travel are the ones that typically are fans from outside the region, not necessarily, but there's a lot of Niner fans that live in other parts of the country and they travel. And those are the ones that watch our shows on YouTube the most. So it's very gratifying. It's like going into the traveling to the Wade games. I realized kind of why you do it, because your YouTube audience makes you, you know, there's a lot of big time Niner fans who are not in the Bay who travel to the games, and you're their connection to the team in a lot of ways. So it's very, very cool. And it's,
thank you.
It was so cool to meet all these people too. I mean, and then we're all Niner fans, and all the stories and the pictures, and you know, in the quarter, and we were doing videos, and we had such a good time. So everybody sign up and follow John. And if you have questions, I'm sure he can answer them for you. And you have a little bit of time to kind of mull it over, but there you go. And we'll promote it again between now and then. Two last ones, and then we'll bolt. We got this one. Who's that from, Johnny? What does it say?
It says, "What a tell my thoughts will tell." It's a big super chat. Appreciate the generosity. The 49ers did need to bolster the wide receivers, linebackers, and D-line, but ignoring the offensive line time after time has come back to haunt the 49ers of the past. Two O-line backups acquired. Must draft some studs for offensive line.
No doubt. I think it's a good year for it, too. I really do. I think there's some good players, even beyond the first round. And this last one here.
Res Thug 707. Thank you so much. I really think it's our Mason Thomas at 27. He's quick. His quick get off is exactly what. Yes. Like speed edge rusher. Is 27 too early for him? I'm not sure.
He's pretty effective. He's kind of like a D Ford.
Yeah, he is. He's fun. And I'm a Longhorn. Why we got me talking about Tennessee and A&M and Texas Tech and OU? What the hell, Larry? You set this all up. Anyway, I'm just joking.
Once again, tell people one more time before we get out of here, if they want to follow you and go with you to Australia in week one for Niners Rams, tell them once again how to connect.
49ersRushRoadTrip.com. That's the easiest way. Go there, click on the thing. It has the full itinerary posted, all the options. You can message that. And check out our show, 49ers Rush Podcast. Wherever you watch and or listen, we should be there.
All right, brother. Good to see you. Great to stream with you again. I'm going to go hit some golf balls. I came out of Arizona. I played a couple rounds of golf. I got the bug. So now I'm going to go hit some golf balls and enjoy some Saturday weather. I mean, you know what I'm thinking about doing today? I'm actually going to bust out the charcoal barbecue for the first time for the springtime. I get a new grill every year because I always throw out the old grill because it gets all rusted and everything. So I'm going barbecue steaks. I'm going barbecue steaks. Awesome. Johnny, if I said barbecue steak, any cut.
It's hard to go wrong with a ribeye, man. Hard to go wrong with a bone-in ribeye. I mean, it's
bone-in ribeye.
Classic. It's a double every single time.
There you go. Johnny's the man. I'm off to Costco for some bone-in ribeyes. Thanks to all of you guys. Have a great Saturday. Peace. Yeah, never met a man
I've been scared of. Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Cachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans. Quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Cachava's all-in-one nutrition shake and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Whether you're craving that coffee taste to kickstart your morning ritual or as a nutrient-packed reward to round out your afternoon, Cachava keeps you fueled and satisfied wherever your day takes you. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. And for the times you feel like switching it up, you've got 7 flavors to choose from, all with the highest quality ingredients. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to cachava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's KACHAVA.com, code FITNESS.